How many of you felt the Lord say something to you early this morning? I heard the Lord say, restoration, restoration. I'm believing for all those things. I'm believing for an incredible encounter with the Lord this week through the ministry of Jonathan Shuttlesworth. I'm believing God for, we called it Freedom Revival. And thank you for passing out 5,000 cards, by the way, in the past 30 days. I saw a picture of one yesterday in the sauna at ViQuest. And I think it was Pastor Travis. He said, man, I'm spreading breadcrumbs all over the place. And it was in the sauna. So put them anywhere. Saw one laying on a package of chicken in Food Lion. Come on. Come on. Just do it, okay? Just do it. It's easy. Just put a card out there. And we ask you to pray about those things. We ask you to pray who you give a card to. And all those things are so important. Because think about it, man. Every invitation. In fact, statistics say that people would come to church if they were invited. Isn't that sad? Isn't that a sad commentary for the 21st century? That people would come if they were invited. And sometimes people, you know, they're doing other things. If you got in your car right now, which you're not in the name of Jesus, and went to Walmart, you know what you'd find at Walmart this morning? The store is full. People are shopping the aisles, you know, pushing the basket, just looking at stuff. They're not even really needing anything. They're just looking. They just wanted something to do. I'm off today, praise God. They didn't say praise God, but I'm off. And so they've gone to the store. There are people right now that are buying groceries at Food Lion right now because it's Sunday morning. And I don't have to ask you, what do you do on Sunday morning? You know what? You know what happens to me? On Sunday afternoon, as soon as this service is over, you know what I start thinking about? Next Sunday. I just start thinking about next Sunday. God, what are you going to do? Who are you going to save? Who are you going to touch? Who are you going to bless? Who are you going to heal? I start thinking about what he's going to do next week. But the reality of it is we need to start thinking about what he's going to do every day. Every day. Amen. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in the presence of God. It's an honor for me this morning. We're not going to waste any time. I want him to have plenty of time this morning. Would you give a warm Carpenter Shop International Church welcome to Jonathan Shuttlesworth?
Now give Jesus a great big hand clap. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Just landed at your airport at 9:52, so it was nice to be there. I was the only one within about 3 miles, I think. Nice to be. We just finished, I don't know if you've been following or not, but God just gave us a great answer to prayer. A door opened in Philadelphia back in 2015 where the city council invited us to use the parks of Philadelphia to do open-air crusades. And I had been praying. There's an evangelist named Reinhard Bonnke. And I saw what God used him to do in Nigeria. He had a 9-year run through Nigeria where they had 63 million first-time decisions for Jesus Christ. Just in their 1-week meeting in Lagos, Nigeria, they had 2.8 million decisions for Christ, first time. And they only counted people who filled out cards. And so I started to pray that God would do that in America again. Because, you know, I was talking to your pastor briefly about the heroin problem you have here. And that's everywhere, you know. I'm only 37, but when I was a kid, there were basically a few places in the United States you'd go to get drugs. St. Louis, north side of Pittsburgh, Newark and the Bronx in New York. But now it's like everywhere. Little places that have 600 people, 1,100 people, 16,000 people, burying 19, 27 people a weekend. And the government can't stop that. You can't vote out demons. You can't destroy a demonic power through political activism. But the Bible says the only person who has the solution is not Jesus, it's the church. Anybody ever hear of a missionary named T.L. Osborne? One time T.L. Osborne was at a missions convention and they said, they were talking about a nation that didn't have any preachers. And they said, what this nation needs is Jesus. And T.L. Osborne stood up at 70 years old and said, no, they don't. And they looked and thought he was losing his mind. He said, they don't need Jesus, they need a Christian. Because a Christian has Jesus. And a lot of times, that's where the church misses it. Lord, we need you to move in North Carolina. God's up in heaven saying, I already did everything I'm going to do. And I sent my Holy Spirit, and our job is to get full of the Holy Ghost and then go and remind the devil who's boss. Can you say amen? That's how it works. So a lot of times people use prayer as like a cop-out to ask God to do what he asked you to do. But when you get full of the Holy Ghost, the Lord doesn't work independently of people. The Lord desires to work through people. The whole prophecy in the book of Acts about how the last day move of God would go is not all move. It's I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And so that's what revival meetings are. It's not for you to come here this week and get a touch. Pastor, I need a touch. You got the wrong preaching. God's not looking to give people a touch. God's looking to fill people with the Holy Ghost and fire. And then you come out of this room and give the devil a kick in the head that he'll remember for the rest of the year. In Jesus' name. Anyway, we did our first over, I basically did like an outdoor like you would do in Central Africa in the 1960s or India in the 1920s. That's how we did it in Philadelphia. Our flyering that we do basically makes it where about 90% of the crowd that comes is totally unchurched, unsaved. So we had 2,564 decisions for Jesus Christ in the first one, and the most we had in attendance was about 3,700. So my prayer point this year was that God would add a zero on all our numbers because we had leveled out at about 3,000 people coming a night. And Newark was the place where God answered our prayer. On opening night, you're going to see it because we just uploaded the video and your media team was kind enough to upload it spur of the moment. Media teams hate evangelists because they mess everything up. Just come back and they have to find a video. But we had 9,000 people in North Jersey. Newark, New Jersey is right across the river from New York City. I mean, you can see it from there. And Newark is the 10th poorest city in the United States. And so I'll show you more videos as the week goes on. It was phenomenal because, like has happened several times, as soon as they found out we weren't doing a night of worship or a community prayer rally and that there was going to be gospel preaching, the devil hates the preaching of the gospel. He doesn't mind if you strum a guitar and sing with the Christians that are there, but when you start snatching people out of the devil's grip, he has a problem. So the Muslim mayor in Newark started to not return our phone calls. They yanked the permit that we had since April. We fought and got 3 days back. They said that there was a credible terrorist threat against the event, and so they were going to have to shut it down. We asked them who the person was who made the threat, because in my opinion, if a terrorist threatened the event, you shouldn't charge me more to pay for police. That person should be in jail and have to pay the security cost. And so they said, well, we can't tell you. It's classified. But unfortunately for them, we have a contact in our ministry that has Department of Defense classified clearance. So he looked into it, and the whole thing was a lie. So you see what's happening in Nigeria right now. And, you go through all the nations of the world. I have a young friend that's 23 years old who's an evangelist in India. And he just did an opening night of a crusade in the stadium. The secret police came to arrest him. And he had to fight that off. If we don't step forward in America, America will turn into Canada and England and Germany and all these other nations that have laid down to Islam. And that's why I made up my mind to go there and preach the gospel. The devil's not going to have our generation. The church is going to be built in America, and there's nothing the devil can do about it. Can you say amen? About 40% of you look like you're unconvinced and are rooting for the Muslims, but I know it's early, so hopefully you'll come around by the end of the day. Amen. Islam will never coexist with Christianity. Islam looks to shut down Christianity everywhere it goes, but they weren't able to shut us down. And I'm going to show you what the Lord did. Remember, this is not overseas. This is in North Jersey, in the liberal Northeast. The gospel works everywhere. And here's the video. Enjoy. Go ahead, my sister.
I believe God's going to shake Newark, New Jersey this week. They've buried enough 19-year-olds, enough fentanyl overdoses. Man doesn't have the problem to stop demonic attacks, but the blood of Jesus can still destroy every attack of the devil against our generation.
The first night of Festival of Life in Newark, New Jersey made a deep dent in the enemy's camp. The registration lines wrapped around Lincoln Park just before the event officially started.
Everyone that's on this field,
cada persona que está aquí en el parque,
you're addicted.
Está adicto.
You're bound by sorrow.
Está atado por tristeza.
You haven't laughed in years.
No te has sonreído en años.
But you cry every day.
Pero llora todos los días.
The devil has you under his grip.
El diablo te tiene bajo su agarre.
You've tried to break free.
Tú has tratado de salir libre.
Counseling didn't work.
La consejería no funcionó.
Medication didn't work.
Medicamento no ha funcionado.
I know America doesn't agree.
Yo sé que América no está de acuerdo.
But you can't medicate a devil away.
Pero tú no puedes darle medicina a un diablo.
But there is still a name
name in 2018.
Pero todavía hay un nombre en el 2018.
The name of Jesus.
El nombre de Jesús.
That at the mention of that name.
Y al mencionar ese nombre.
Every devil.
Cada diablo.
Every power.
Todo poder.
Has to bow its knee at the mention of that name.
Se tiene que mostrar
a... I know a lot of people may have come because they heard giveaways and everything like that. But I'm happy that a lot of people stayed for the service.
In fact, thousands stayed. An estimated 1,200 people answered the altar call. Aisha Carter is just one of them.
I said I came in with pain in my arm and stress on my brain, but it's all relieved now. I don't feel any of it, any of it. The pain in my arm is like gone. The worries that was on my arms and stress, I just feel like it's lifted, and I feel like I'm being blessed by the minutes and the seconds.
While Evangelist Jonathan Shuttlesworth preached and prayed, the Spirit of God was making some serious changes.
Crack addict,
toda adicta crack,
every prostitute,
toda prostituta,
every person that the city of Newark has given up on,
toda la gente que Newark se ha cansado de ellos,
every person the police are tired of arresting,
toda la gente que la policía está cansado de arrestar,
God hasn't given up on you.
Dios no se ha rendido con usted.
And you're why I'm here tonight.
I've been battling a lot of addiction lately, and I've been praying on it and praying on it, and you know, it ain't been working, and you know, so I came up today, and then I heard him say the Holy Spirit told me to stay. Oh, and I just stood there, and I just stayed, right? And he was like, just touch where you want to be delivered at, and I was just touching my addiction. I said, you can't touch addiction, so God, what can I touch? So I just touched my heart, and I said, just deliver this, you know, change you. Now, mind you, I've been smoking cigarettes since I was 14 years old.
Vivica Montgomery says she literally felt the chains fall.
I got out from there. I don't even have a desire, a taste, a craving, or nothing. It's like he just delivered me from everything. I don't have a desire to smoke drugs. I don't have a desire of anything right now. It's just like he broke all the chains. He broke hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, I can't believe he just broke all the chains in it. And this lady asked me, she was like, what did you get? Did you win anything? I said, no, I won the Holy Spirit, and I can't get no blessed in that. I can't get no richer than that. I just want to share that with y'all. Thank you.
And Francesca Duncan recommitted her life to Christ, sending a very direct message to government officials.
Do you want to beat the drugs on the street? Bring us in. Let us minister to them. If you want to stop the crime on the street, let us minister to them. If you want to stop the gang banging, let us minister to them. Let God have his way, because that's what it's about. It's about souls. Let him have his way inside these cities.
The altar call actually ran out of room, so 1,200 came forward. We had about 500 more that we had to estimate because we didn't have enough room at the altar for everybody that came forward. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So we did that Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. They revoked the permit after the third day, so I moved it into Symphony Hall. Looked like the Muppet Theater. I thought their two old guys would be heckling me while I preach. And then we went in there and had about 1,000 a night come indoors. God's not finished with America. And so when you study Bible prophecy, if you can get around depressed people that study Bible prophecy and make it seem like it's a time the devil's going to take over. But it's not. The Bible says there's an antichrist spirit that's in the world, but it can't do what it wants until he who's standing in the way is removed. The he who's standing in the way is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil's not over our head. The devil's under our feet. Can you say amen? And so the more you declare it out of the word of God, you saw there. I love that I have the videos now because they even teach you at Full Gospel Bible College. That stuff doesn't work anymore. You know, people aren't going to stand and listen to the gospel. People stood for an hour. There were no chairs. And the sinners, I mean, probably conservatively, 85% of that crowd, as you could tell looking at the pictures, were totally unchurched, unsaved. Drug addicts, prostitutes, all that. And they're hungry for an answer. And we have the answer. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so we finished with, we were on television every night, two different networks, Faith Broadcasting Network and Christian Television Network. They had so many people call one night to get saved that every operator was full and it crashed the backup phone bank on the computer. And so I'm coming straight out of that meeting. I finished that Friday night. I spent yesterday with my family and chartered a jet and flew down here to be with you people. Normally, I don't charter a jet, but I've been seeing CNN run their mouth so much about what they think about preachers with jets. I've made up my mind anything CNN doesn't like, I'm going to do it more. Amen. I might buy a jet and just fly around their tower in Atlanta until they can't do the news from the noise. Can you say amen? And so I'm here with you, fresh off of that, and I'm believing what God did in Newark, New Jersey, God's going to do in North Carolina this week. Listen, that God will literally shake this town. There's people in this, I mean, there's no way you'd have a crowd this big on Sunday morning and there's not people here. You have a son on heroin, daughter on heroin, somebody that's been in and out of a methadone clinic 8 times, stole money from you, family's a wreck. There's nothing the devil's done to you that God can't do something about it before lunchtime today. God is not slow. God created the whole world in 6 days and he won't need more than 5 minutes to straighten out your situation. If you believe that, can you say amen? I want you to lift your hands with me right up front before I get into this first message. Father, thank you for what you did in New Jersey. And now as you've opened this great door to be in this wonderful church, I thank you that as I was driving from the airport to Carpenter Shop, I passed church after church with 6 cars in the parking lot, 8 cars in the parking lot. But thank you that you didn't open that door for me. You opened a door where there's actual people. Amen. And so I pray you would shake every family that's represented here. Everything that's been planted in this town that wasn't planted by God, let it be uprooted this week forever in Jesus' name. Turn the tide the same way you brought Israel out of Egypt in one night. Turn the tide this week in, how do you say it, Ahoski or Ahoski? In Ahoski. Turn the tide this week in Jesus' mighty name. I curse every pipeline of heroin, every pipeline of fentanyl, every pipeline of Percocet and meth. In Jesus' mighty name, we serve notice on the devil this Sunday morning. Enough is enough. Your reign of terror on every family here ends today. Every grandparent that's here, you're not going to die with your grandkids still not serving the Lord. God's going to call them back today. In Jesus' mighty name, today everything turns around for your good. In Jesus' mighty name. And we thank you for it and give you praise, honor, and glory in advance. Because we know you've never failed and you're not about to start today. The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the fire of God. Thank you that your anointing doesn't give us power to survive the onslaught of the devil. That your anointing destroys the work of the devil. Your anointing destroys every yoke. Your anointing destroys every heavy burden. So every man and woman that came in here carrying a heavy burden, under a yoke of bondage, I thank you that you lift it by the anointing. It's not 7 steps to try to get out. It's call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. We loose that power today in the name of Jesus Christ. And in that precious name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody said a living amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord a great hand clap. I want you, if you have your Bible, open it with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and that's where I'll begin this great week of meetings. 2 Chronicles 20. Newark, New Jersey is the city where they arrested Brother Shambach. Shut his tent down. Brother Shambach's in heaven now, so I figured I'll pick up the torch and go give that devil another beating for another however many years till Jesus comes. Amen. 2 Chronicles 20. The Bible says, after this, the armies of Moab, of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Meunites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They're already at Hazen Tamar. This was another name for En-Gedi. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah in Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard of the temple of the Lord. And he prayed, O Lord God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty, and no one can stand against you. O our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land to the descendants of your friend Abraham? You, your people, settled here and built this temple to honor your name. They said, whenever we're faced with any calamity, such as plague, war, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before the temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us, and you will rescue us. Everybody say that. Say, God will hear me. Somebody say, God will rescue me. So God just doesn't listen to your prayers. He listens and acts. I was in Manhattan about 3 years ago, and my taxi driver was a Muslim. You could tell by his name. You didn't need the discerning of spirits when a man's name is Muhammad. You know he's probably not a deacon from a Baptist church. And so I didn't tell him I was a Christian because I actually wanted to use my 15-minute taxi ride to find out a little bit more about Islam, since I'm preaching in so many Islamic places now anyway. So I didn't want him to shade his answers, and I didn't want it to seem like I was, like, attacking him. So I never told him what I was. I was in regular clothes. And I said, do you still pray 5 times a day now that you're in America? Because once people come to America, everybody stops praying, regardless of what faith they are. And so I said, do you still pray 5 times a day? He said, I do. He was in his mid-50s. I said, what are the times of prayer? Because that I didn't know. I knew it in Islam you pray 5 times a day, but I didn't know what times they were. So he told me. I said, well, one of the times is 5 a.m. prayer. I said, you told me that you drive taxi from midnight till 8 in the morning. I said, so what do you do for the 5 a.m. prayer? He said, I won't pick up anybody later than 4:15. When I drop that person off, I go and park at the mosque and pray and then resume my shift. So then I said this. I said, now listen, you listen to how I phrased the question. I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I didn't say, have you ever seen Allah answer any? I said, what's the greatest miracle that you've ever seen Allah do in answer to your prayers? He spun right around and went, you're a Christian, aren't you? I said, what does that have to do with anything? He said, no, I can tell by the way that you phrased the question that you're a Christian. He said, when we pray, we don't do it in expectation for our God to do anything. He said, we pray out of duty. I feel like telling him, you're no different than most full gospel people. They pray, did you say your prayers today? As if it's like doing push-ups. Did you do your push-ups today? Did you run on the treadmill today? Did you say your prayers today? Did you read your Bible today? But I wanted to show you here that that religious way of praying is not the Christian way of praying. We don't pray, well, I'm just throwing up a request. How many of you know sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says wait. That's not anywhere in the Bible. Next time some person tells you that, get a bookie to write up a thing that you bet them $100,000 that's not in any part of the Bible. That's not even written back in the colored maps that are way in the back of the Bible. You can scroll through every Bible you have and every translation. There's not a verse that even resembles. Sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no, and sometimes God says wait. Prayer is a platform to take your needs to God. Take your requests to God. They don't even have to be needs. And then call on him. And he didn't say, when you call on me, I might answer. He said, call on me and I will answer and show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33:3. You saw that video there. How do we get all those people to come? It's an answer to prayer. Where I made up my mind, you know, I don't need 9,000 people to come and do that. That costs me money. You don't get money from doing that. Feed 1,000 grocery boxes. Where did they come from? It came from making a decision. I'm not going to beat my head against a wall, traveling 50 weeks a year, having 4 people come to the altar, 7 people come to an altar. If I'm called to reach the lost, which I am, part of my calling, the lost aren't in church on Sunday. The lost are lost. And an evangelist is not supposed to wait. Jesus didn't say wait for them to come in. He said, go and compel them to come in. And so we did what they did in 2 Chronicles 20, fast and pray. And then the next thing you know, we start getting text messages. Hey, normally we have 500 people register, but after the first week. We're at 9,000. Then it goes from 9,000 to 14,000. Then it goes from 14,000 to 18,000 individual people that registered to come, where you have the police freaking out. There's only 25 of us. There's 10,000 people here. If this gets violent, we're in trouble. Yeah, you might be, but I'm not. Amen. Because it's the Lord's doing. There wasn't one incident. There was no problem. Because we serve a God who said, I'm not interested in meeting your needs. I'll give you the desires of your heart. Ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance, the nations of the world as your possession. Can you say amen? Amen. Can you say a better amen? We were in Massachusetts, that, I would have let that slide as an amen. But Southern people are supposed to give better amens, last I checked. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so that's why you have to see that when you engage God, these meetings are not me having five things I like to say in a briefcase and trying them out in North Carolina. These are special meetings that God has ordained for you to contact his power by prayer, by turning your faith loose. God is interested in intervening in your affairs. I'm going to tell you, if that guy would have turned the questioning around on me, if he'd have found out I was a Christian in the beginning and started to ask me about prayer and then say, have you ever seen God do anything for you? That taxi ride, well, I'd probably still be in the taxi from the time I was a little boy. Your pastor was telling me down front. I said, how'd you hear about me anyway? I'd never preached in North Carolina. I'd only been to Elizabeth City one time. It's the only place I've ever been in North Carolina. I said, how'd you hear about me? He said, I heard your grandfather preach in the 1980s. And he said, I heard your father and uncle preach. I've been around the things of God my whole life. And I would be a part of the long list of backslidden preacher's kids if I thought it was fake. If I saw my dad preach one thing and then you never saw God move. But I'm going to tell you something this morning in North Carolina. I saw the exact opposite. I saw that the God that my dad preached about behind the scenes took care of us in every area of life. Did you notice that scripture that I read? God said, anytime you're faced with war or plague or famine, you can call on me and I will hear you and I will answer you. Think of those three things: war, plague, and famine. What's famine? Famine speaks of poverty and run out. What's plague? Plague speaks of incurable disease. What's war? General unrest and attack. That's what they were going through in 2 Chronicles 20. They were a little nation, so little that they could stand before the temple as a whole nation. And they find out that all these armies have ganged up on them. Can you imagine if today we find out that we're here in Ahoskie and that a bunch, the U.S. military, the Canadian military, the Mexican military, the British military have all ganged up to wipe us out. I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to pray some little religious prayer. Oh, Lord, we just come. They gathered before God. Nobody was eating. And they said, oh, God, we need your help. You said anytime we're faced with trouble that's bigger than what we can deal with, we can call on you, and you will help us, and you will deliver us. I came to tell you that didn't die in the Bible. The God that said he'll be your very present help in time of trouble, he is present today looking for somebody that will call on him. And when you call on him, he will answer you and show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. If you can testify that that God's not a liar, put those anointed hands together and give that God a great shout from his sanctuary. Somebody shout hallelujah. You said you would hear us and that you would answer us. Your Christianity will take a different turn when you realize you're not wasting time praying. Lord, give me the strength to change the things I can. I have trouble remembering that prayer because my mind has trouble remembering stupid things. Lord, give me the strength to change the things I can. Whatever. Accept the things I can't. Where's that in the Bible? Where you pray, let me accept the things I can't change. Jesus said you can speak to any mountain and you tell it to move and it will obey your command. Not it might obey your command, it will obey your command. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you say a better amen?
Amen?
Where is that in the Bible? Where do you find in the Bible God meeting with someone? Hey, listen, your prayer requests are getting a little too big now. You have to remember, yes, I'm God. And yes, I said a lot of these things, but you have to remember, they were to encourage people. I didn't actually expect anyone to take it literally. No. Faith is a living power.
drawn from the living word of God that produces living proof in real life. I'm going to tell you, if that God I'm preaching to you today was fake, then when I stood up in Newark as a skinny white boy in a town that's 55% black and 30-some percent Spanish with rival gangs there, not just drug addicts, drug dealers, and they come to check you out, they'd have found me laying in a ditch with 12 stab wounds missing my sneakers. Those guys would have, this guy's full. But when they sense that there's a real God who stands in back of his word, all you saw those people begin to lift their hands and cry because they realized, my brother, and I want you to realize it today, we don't serve an idol. We serve a living God who's a consuming fire. And when you call on him, he will answer you. That God is going to answer somebody today in the name of Jesus Christ. If you're the person, let your hand clap be the loudest and give God a mighty shout of praise. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You will answer us. And as soon as they prayed it, all the men of Judah stood there before the Lord with their little ones, wives and children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men who was standing there. His name was Jehazi, son of Zechariah, son of Benaniah, son of Jehiel, son of Mattaniah, a Levite who was a descendant of Asaph. And he said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen to me, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Everybody say, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged by this mighty army. So you notice when the devil tries to attack you, that's why fear and discouragement always accompany the bad news that the devil brings. Because if he can get you to be afraid and discouraged, you can't access God's provision and power in that state of mind. That's the first thing God told Joshua. Do not be afraid. You have a job to play. You can't, he said, well, how do I do that? I need prayer. No, you have to refuse to be afraid. You have to refuse to be discouraged. When you get word 7 days before that meeting's going to start that the Muslim mayor has yanked the permit after you had it in writing till April, the natural thing to do is, oh, well, I guess we'll have to care. No. The first anybody's hearing about it is after it's over. I never put anything on Facebook. I never told any prayer partners. You know what I found out? I'm all for intercession. I'm all for prayer partners. But you know what? I can pray myself. Elijah didn't have an intercessor team. Elijah called down fire all by himself. And I want to tell you, if you're the only one you've got, you by yourself can go boldly before the throne of grace and obtain help and favor in the time that you need it. And I didn't even pray. Devil's too big a punk to pray about. I just lifted my hands and praised God. Father, you heard what that guy said, but I thank you. The earth doesn't belong to him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all the inhabitants that dwell therein. I thank you that I'm not a religious worker. I thank you that I'm not running a nonprofit. I thank you that I'm a child of the Most High God. I thank you that your good hands on my life. I thank you that he who called me is faithful to bring this to pass. Bust that devil in the head. And I'm going to tell you right now this morning, the good people of North Carolina, every demon that thinks it can control whether your children serve the Lord or not, whether you make it or not, that demon gets busted in the head today in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So they prayed, and God answered immediately. How did he answer? The Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men. Everybody say, God uses men. If God wants to tell me, he can tell me. No, you'll never hear a thing. Because when you're in an assembly like this, the Lord anoints people to speak as his mouthpiece. God didn't answer him from heaven. God anointed a man to speak. And the man said, do not be afraid. Everybody say, do not be afraid. Everybody say, do not be discouraged. You know, people say, you know, if you challenge the mayor, they could have you arrested. Good. I would love to join the list of ministers who have been arrested in America for preaching the gospel. When you look at the list, it's a pretty good list. I'm actually ashamed I'm not on it yet. Look, at some of you, you're confused. You're trying to get out of prison. I'm trying to get into prison. What are you going to do if you get arrested, Brother Jonathan? I could use a break. Make a couple new friends, get a free tattoo. Then have my lawyer get me out and keep preaching. I'll write a book like Paul did. Can you say amen? Man, I would love one time to write my next book, and instead of having a nice author picture, to have a picture from behind the cell, me sitting with my cellmate sitting there, helping me type it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I'm not backing down from any devil. The devil knows if you stand, he can't do anything. So he tries to get you in a place of fear and discouragement. He says, I don't think I'm... No, when he tries to put that on you, what do? You do what God's going to command here. Lift up holy hands unto God without wrath or doubting. Begin to praise him out of your mouth, and your praise destroys the yoke of the enemy that keeps you in bondage. You are coming out today in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah! Early the next... Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Everybody say, the Lord is with me. You think you can set your alarm on Saturday night when you don't feel like it? Forget about waking up for church. I don't even feel like setting my alarm for church. Your flesh never wants to go to church. Then your alarm goes off in the morning. I'm the preacher. And I still don't feel like, I felt like hitting the snooze button and sleeping in. Because your flesh wars against the spirit. And there's nobody that didn't fight that battle this morning. But guess what? You didn't fight it, you won it. You got your old man out of bed, put it in the shower, hopefully, put on some clothes, and came to the house of God. Do you think you can honor God's house in the early hours of a new week? And God just say, well, yeah, you should be. No, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I said, my God's not Allah. My God's not Buddha. My God is a rewarder of them that seek him. Lift your hands all over this sanctuary today. As you made a point to be in the house of the Lord and already won that battle over your flesh, God begins to fight your battles for you from today. You will hear news today that the tide has turned in your favor in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout, do not be afraid. Say, don't be discouraged. Say, the Lord is with me. Lift both hands to the Lord. Close both eyes. It would be good for you to hear yourself say that out of your spirit. Most people just speak what's against them, and they never speak about what's for them. With those hands lifted, say this, Father, I thank you that I'm not in this by myself. You're with me. Your good hand is upon me. I'm anointed with fresh oil. With your hands lifted, just begin to thank him out of your mouth. If you're filled with the Spirit, begin to thank him in the Spirit. If you've not yet been filled with the Spirit, then just thank him in English. I thank you that I'm not in this by myself. The Lord is with me. His angels are ordered to go around me wherever I go. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to win the victory. I have the victory through my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name we've prayed and given thanks, and everybody said, hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, how many of you feel that? I feel it break. If you're waiting for me to say, now everybody that sows $1,000 seed, just relax, would you? I can have people like tensing up. Okay, when's the party's going to ask for the money? I'm not taking an offering this morning. This is on the house. Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned I came in a jet. Everybody got nervous. You're going to want me to pay for that jet, I think. No, I'm not. The jet's paid for. The crusade's paid for. Me clothes are paid for. Let's just enjoy the blessing of God and let the Lord set you free. Hallelujah! This nice lady in the purple right here. Yes, you're not in trouble. But I'd like you to stand up and step into the aisle. Power of God's all over you. Come right here. Praise God. I'm going to have you do something. Put both hands where your chest is. Go ahead. The Lord's going to give you a new heart and new lungs, your whole cardiovascular system. There it is. Come right into you right now. And then I'll say,
a bonus. The oil of joy for mourning. You're not going to sit by yourself and be sad. The Lord will visit you in your home. You'll find yourself singing and laughing in the face of the devil. And your best years are not behind you, says the Lord. Your best years are yet to come. So rejoice and be glad. For the Lord is your victory. Does this church have catchers, or are they union and they already went home? In the name of Jesus, that knee,
new cartilage, new hip.
Hallelujah. For the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands one more time. I feel the sweet presence of God. Keep on. Stand up, my friend. Power of God's all over you. Step right onto the aisle. Now, I don't pick who I pray for. The Lord picks. But I'm glad it worked out. I prayed for one white person, not one black person. In case there's any Klansmen here, I hope it ticks them off. Amen. Praise the Lord. And if you want to make a death threat against me, just know ahead of time, every one of you will drop dead before anything touches me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus is wonderful. Keep your right hand up. Put your left hand where your belly is. The Lord gives you a new pancreas. Begins to touch your kidneys. All your blood levels go to normal. In Jesus, there it come right into you right now. More. More.
Bill!
Again, catchers, anytime you're ready, you. Because if we don't have catchers during this week, there's some big North Carolina boys. If they fall down, we'll have to build a basement where they land. Amen. Just lift your hands wherever you're seated. Let the Lord touch you. You're not going down. I said, you're not going down. You're going up. God always leads to increase. Can you say amen? Sign language lady, lift both hands to the Lord. Any hearing impaired people will be able to guess what's happening. In Jesus' name, lift your hands. You're off duty. In Jesus, keep both hands lifted. Now keep your right hand up and put your left hand where your belly is. In the name of the Lord Jesus, as you were signing what I was preaching, the Lord began to touch you. And now from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, the Lord destroys any pain, anything that they've written off as a normal part of aging. We don't have things that are a normal part of aging in our family. In Jesus' name. You don't have babies when you're 90 years old, but you do in our family, as Sarah. Amen. So we don't expect things to run out. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to tell you, I have a nice sermon that I wrote on that airplane, but I can already tell I'm not going to get to preach it today. Because I felt, when I started to talk about how good God is, I not only felt His presence come into the room, but I felt His healing power come into the room. So let me just tell you this. Beautiful. Let me pray for you. Anybody that looks that nice should get prayed for anyway. Lift both hands. Keep your right hand up. Put your left hand on your belly. In Jesus' mighty name. Put the other one where your heart is. New bloodstream. There it is. In Jesus' name. More. Walking backwards on Route 13, you'll know what happened. Amen. This nice lady, would you mind if I pray for her? I'm going to pray for you and then you as well. Come right out to the aisle. I always ask if the husband looks like he could beat me up. Lift both hands. I want to tell you two things. Number one, and I feel this especially for you, and this is the case a lot of times when you minister to women, is the nature of a woman, it seems like they're always believing for other people. Whether it's the mother nature or what, I'm not a psychologist, so I don't know. But I feel like if you could have the desire of your heart, it would be for the Lord to touch somebody close to you that's not here. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord's going to do two things. He'll give you that desire of your heart, and he's going to touch you today in Jesus' name. And then the same with you. I'll tell you, sometimes before I go to pray for somebody, I get so happy because I can tell the battle's already over, that the Lord's already removed it. If you think I just stand up here and like say stuff, how many of you know your battle's over today? I'm not just saying things to work up a crowd. I'm telling you, there's great faith in this place. I was so happy when I walked in and you had fast music going that carried the life of God on it. Go to some place, it sounds like they're having Jesus' funeral every Sunday. Victory was already in here before I came. That's probably why I couldn't even get through my text before the Lord. People came ready. You see, it gets going strong. It's already getting stronger in your body. Be able to eat what you want, when you want, with no problem. In Jesus' name, all through your bones and joints, the vertebrae in your back, there it is. Boom! Right through them in Jesus' name. And now the Lord not only touches you, shoots out to whoever you're believing for. You'll get news. You're never going to believe what happened. I got a good report. In Jesus, in fact, lift your hand when I get ready to pray for her. I tell you, before this week's out, every child of God is ordained to receive good news this week. Imagine your daughter that always calls you with everything's right. She starts calling you with good reports. Mom, you're not going to believe what happened. And you say, well, you got your boyfriend. No, he's out. Now I'm doing this. Imagine the Lord turn the whole tide today in Jesus' name. Fresh anointing. In Jesus' name. Now, the goal is not to fall down. People fall under the power. So I heard a guy on Christian radio. He said, I don't see anywhere in the Bible where people fell down. Well, sorry, you bought a Bible that was missing pages. Probably bought it on discount because he was cheap. Bible says when they went to arrest Jesus, knowing all things that were going to happen, said, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am. And they all fell to the ground backwards. You only need about a third grade education to read that and understand it. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where people fell down. Well, sorry that you're blind. If you let us pray for you, Lord will open up your eyes and you can read. Amen. You're not going to read. Actually, you're actually not going to read anybody who came into the presence of God or the manifest presence of Christ and stayed upright. What do you think you're going to do when you meet Jesus? Shake his hand. Nice to meet you, Jesus. Can you please show me to my mansion? John said, I fell at his feet as one dead. Revelation chapter 1. Bible says one little old angel appeared and the whole Roman soldiers guarding the tomb fell down. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I just say it because, you know, some of you came from backgrounds where they warned against stuff like this. Those people pay people to fall down. Where do you get the people? I will fall under the power for cash.com. You know, that's fake. Those people are paid. I'll pretend to be healed for cash.com. Then you type in how many people you'd like in the meeting and where's the meeting at. Pay them ahead of time by money order. Everybody say, Jesus is real. Say it like you believe it. Say, Jesus is real. One of the great things that you'll see when I play the rest of those videos this week is people, street people that don't know anything about the power of God would ask, why did I fall down? What was that? It's the power of God. The anointing of the Holy Ghost that breaks every, that destroys every yoke and lifts every heavy burden. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, how's the anointing moving? And again, if the goal was to fall down, I'd have had everybody lay down at 11:15, get up and dismiss, and we'd all be home by now. But the power of God's real. And I'm sorry that there's people on TV at 1:30 in the morning in lime green suits that use this stuff for financial advantage, but they were doing it in the New Testament when Paul was preaching too. Just because there's people that are phony about it doesn't mean there's not a real thing. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, everybody say, God's a healer.
God's a healer.
Exodus chapter 15, Moses, verses 22 through 26. Moses found some water, but it wasn't suitable to drink. God showed him a piece of wood that D.L. Moody said was a type of the cross. He took the wood and threw it into the water. And the Bible says it cleared out all the bacteria and virus. And it made it good to drink.
And the Lord used that as an object lesson. Now, if you will serve me, everybody say, I will serve God. If you will serve me, none of the diseases that came on the Egyptians, or as a way of saying, none of the diseases that came on the heathen, I will not let them come on you, for I am the Lord your God who heals you. Now notice that. He didn't say, if you serve me, when you get sick, I'll heal you. He said, if you serve me, the same way I cleared all that stuff out of the water, my presence will keep sickness and disease out of your midst. Can you say amen? Exodus 23:25. If you will serve the Lord your God, he will bless your bread and water, or your rice and beans, or your barbecue and whatever greens, whatever you eat. He was telling them, if you serve me, I'll bless your food. That's why I don't have to watch all these documentaries about the food and ask my waitress, what kind of chicken is this that you're serving me? Is it cage free? Can I have a list of the chicken's activities over the last 2 weeks? What kind of, no. God said, if you serve me, I will bless your bread and water. I'll bless your food. And I will. Are they putting stuff in the food to kill people? Absolutely. But God said, if you serve me, don't worry about it. Because God's not a dummy. He knew they were going to do that before they ever made the plan to do it. That's why we pray before we eat. Can you say amen? And God said, hallelujah. We're going to have a good week, my friend. He said, I will bless your bread and water, and I will take sickness and disease out of your midst. The number of your days you will fulfill. Everybody say, long life. They didn't teach me that growing up in church. How many of you know we could die at any time? Speak for yourself. God said, if I serve him, I'm not going to give you a short life. I'm not going to allow you to die early. Yeah, I will give you long life and show you my salvation. So number one, God will heal you if you're sick. Number two, the last day you were sick can be the last day you were ever sick, because God said no deadly thing will come near your dwelling. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Then you can go on past that. Not only will God keep you well, but God said also overflow out of you that your hands will turn into weapons. In fact, you read it in Romans chapter 6. It says the same way you used to use your body as a tool of wickedness, now your body will become a weapon of righteousness. What kind of weapon? You will lay your hands on the sick, and not the sick might recover, the sick will recover. Where now not only are you healed, not only is God keeping you healthy, but there's an overflow coming out of your hands that whatever you touch is blessed. Hallelujah. Your hand, everybody say, my hand is a weapon. Say it like you believe it. Say, my hand is a weapon. Then you can go on past that. The Bible says, forget the hands. Acts 19, they would take garments or cloths that had been on the body of Paul and take them to those in Ephesus that were sick. And any sickness or disease was healed. And any evil spirit came out. I don't know why Pentecostals make such a big deal about demons. Oh, I think they might have a demon. Who cares? The Bible says Paul didn't have to take him into a back room and fling oil around for 4 hours and say, now you come out, what's your name? What's your cousin's name? Where do you come from? No, the residue of the anointing that was on Paul's clothes, when it made contact with those that even had demon spirits, there was more fire on the residue of Paul than the demon could withstand. Well, I got news for you. You're not leaving here with the residue of the anointing off another preacher. God is going to fill every North Carolina boy and every North Carolina girl with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. If you believe it, shout yes. Everybody say, my clothes are anointed. Thank you. That was 7 of you. Say, my clothes are anointed. You know, I like to participate with the people. I'm sorry if you're used to the American kind of... And so, point 3, look over the tops of your heads. And so as we close today, just a story before we give the invitation. But I'm with you. That's why I'm walking. I know it makes you seem uncomfortable, but I don't know if they told you I'm an evangelist. Evangelists travel. We don't stay in one place. Can you say amen? Can you say a better amen? Amen? If I wanted to go stand up behind a pulpit and deliver a 25-minute message that was shipped to me from my denomination's headquarters in a leather book, I would have become an Anglican. But I'm full gospel because minister is a verb. We're not speakers, we're ministers. The Bible says Jesus taught, then preached, then healed. So he didn't just speak. The gospel is not in word only, but it is in the demonstration of the power of the Spirit. Can you say amen? I'm not here giving a little speech, same speech I gave in Newark and the same speech I gave the week before that in Pittsburgh. No, the Holy Ghost is in this meeting. The Holy Ghost has something to say. And when the Holy Ghost has something to say, it's to build faith that you can attain the great blessing and power of God and never be the same. If you receive that today, put those two anointed hands together and give God a mighty hand clap. Somebody shout hallelujah. Say this with me now. The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. But say, my clothes are anointed. Smith Wigglesworth, the old British evangelist, did a week of meetings. Back in the days before, there weren't many hotels unless you were in a big city like London or New York. And so they had a rich lady that had a big house, cleared out her master bedroom, had Brother Wigglesworth stay there. Meeting ended on Friday. Goes to leave on Saturday, and the woman's in tears. Wait, Brother Wigglesworth, don't go. You can't leave yet. I said, why not? My husband isn't saved. I fasted for him to come to the meetings and get saved. And he never gave his life to the Lord. Please stay one more week. He said, lady, I have to go. But then he gave her a prophetic instruction. Don't change the sheets. That's a weird instruction. That night she went and followed the instruction of the man of God. Laid in bed. Husband laid in bed. A couple minutes, he starts thrashing around. Is it hot in here to you? No. Is it hot in here? It's England. It hasn't been hot ever. It's not even hot in the summer. Oh, starts thrashing. Then he goes from thrashing around to crying. Then he gets out of bed without her saying anything. Gets on his knees and starts repenting to the Lord. Forgive me, a sinner. Why? The residue of the power of God that was on Brother Wigglesworth was coming through him while he was sleeping, got in the sheets, and it was more than the sin that was in that man could withstand. Lift your hands all over this place. When you go home, I don't care who's on drugs. I don't care if your son's in gangs or what happened. When you come there, the darkness is not going to overwhelm the light. Darkness never drives out light. Light always drives out darkness. And the light of God that's in you is going to not stay caged up in you. It's going to start coming through you and driving out everything of darkness that's in your family, everywhere it is, everywhere the devil has set up shop. It is declared dead today in the name of Jesus Christ. If you believe that with me, shout amen like thunder. Let's say my clothes. It's not Simon Says. Everyone say my clothes. And then? I'll take it one step further than that. The Bible says that Peter, forget his clothes, there actually wasn't even any contact. They would line the sick up on the sidewalk that perchance his shadow would fall across them. And the sick would be healed. Everybody say overflow. That there was such an overflow of the anointing that if you got near him, the sickness or disease couldn't stay. So the fact that there's actually denominations that argue about whether divine healing is a thing or not, that's the lowest. There's divine health. That's the joy of the Lord. Come right up. Because if you play back the tape, I didn't say anything funny. Stand right up. Step right onto the aisle. Put one hand on your belly. Lift one hand to the Lord. Fresh joy, fresh oil from heaven. Hallelujah. Everything the enemy saddled you with to steal your joy, it already left. And now you're going to laugh in the face of the devil from now through Christmas. I'll tell you, these will be the five happiest months you've ever had in your life while the Lord does one miracle after another. That's a word from the Lord. If it doesn't come to pass, you can write me and tell me I'm a false prophet, and I'll write you back and let you know that I'm not even a true prophet. I'm an evangelist. Be filled. Anointed for exploits. In Jesus' mighty name. Congratulations. Hallelujah. I pray you're laughing more than anybody this side of the nut house. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come here, my friend in all black. Yep, you're in trouble. Amen. Praise God. Lift both hands. Right hand up, left hand on your belly.
Just so you know, I don't have any snakes to pass around. Did you see that guy in Kentucky? His dad died from getting bit by a snake as a preacher, and he did it, and then he just got bit and barely survived. And he said, I'm rethinking my stance on snake handling. Lift both hands. As you do, the power of God comes upon you. You look very healthy to look at you, and I'm sure you are, but keep your right hand lifted. Put your left hand on your belly. From the inside out, the Lord does a work right now. There it is. More. That's it. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for touching the people. Went right into you. It's already done. Boom! And when you check, all your blood levels, you won't have any problems in your blood. Lift your hands all over this place. Anybody who picked up anything in their bloodstream, even from before you served the Lord or whatever, the Lord gives you a brand new clean bloodstream right now in Jesus' name. Keep your hands lifted and just receive it. The Lord washes your blood clean right now. Because if that stuff stays in your blood, it starts wearing out your kidneys and livers. You got to get healed. So be healed in Jesus' name. I said be healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyway, what I was getting ready to tell you before those three ladies interrupted me was they lined the sick up, and Peter walked across in his shadow. When they got close to him, they got healed. There's a pastor from Nigeria. He's 76 years old. His name's Pastor Enoch Adeboye. He had about 300 people in his group in the 1980s. And now when they have their convention, they actually just built a new building last year that's a little less than 2 miles wide and 2 miles long. They fit about 1.5 million people in there, and then it's still not big enough. They have to use the old building that's about 1 mile by 1 mile for overflow. And so I met him up in Toronto this year. He laid hands on me and prayed, let his ministry go to another level, and you saw the video. Pays to get hands laid on you. Amen. Amen. Thank God for impartation. Well, he was preaching in England, and they said, can you please pray for one of our pastor's wives? His denomination is called the Redeemed Christian Church of God. They had a Redeemed Christian Church of God pastor whose wife was in hospice. Now, you know hospice. They're done treating you, and they're making you comfortable to die. And he said he'll go. And when he told the story, he said, you know how it is in England. It's like America, but England's actually worse. He said, it's not like Africa where you can just go in and go room to room praying for people. He said, I could only pray for her, and then I had to leave. He said, so I walked into hospice, prayed for the lady, prayed a simple prayer, and left. He said, I got a text message the next, I think it was like 2 days later. Pastor Adeboye, the pastor's wife that you prayed for, was completely healed and signed out of hospice. And everybody say, second. All 32 other people that were in hospice that day are also well and have been signed out of hospice. Walked in, walked out. Just like Acts. See, people say, boy, that's what? No, it's in the Bible. And when you read, what do you think all these songs we used to sing in church about the early and the latter rain? That what God did in the book of Acts is what he's reserved for this last period of time before Jesus comes back. If you're called to the ministry, you're not going to have some little ministry where you speak to 11 people and one person beats a tambourine out of rhythm. God's anointed you to take ground. I said, God's anointed you to take ground. I said, God's anointed you to take ground. People are staring at me like it's math class. I pray the Lord delivers some people this morning of looking like they were baptized in pickle juice. Amen. The people of God should be happy. I said the people of God should be happy. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. And I'm telling you right now, however your life started, that's not going to be how it finishes. You and Jesus are writing a new chapter today. You know it's you. Just lift your hands right there. Nice to meet you. I'm not saying this to be nice. I'm from up north. We don't say anything to be nice. Just like the people I ministered to in that crusade, the devil has gone out of his way to destroy your life. And I'm going to tell you, two specific times you should already been dead since you've been born. And if you talk to your mother, she's still around, she'd tell you one time before you were born. The enemy almost took you out. But the Lord says to you, I have preserved you. So I don't know who was praying for you, grandma or whoever, but the Lord doesn't randomly preserve people. And I sent my angels to watch over you. And I brought you to this point by my grace, that you would hear my word from my servant and that I could deliver you out of all your trouble. So this is what the Lord says. Though your troubles are many, I remove the trouble from your life and I replace it with my blessing. Put one hand on your belly. You can keep the other one lifted. Put the other one on your mouth. I curse the taste for that stuff off your lip and tongue. It'll never, there it is. And that demon that, wait. If you feel like clapping, just lift your hands and thank the Lord. I curse the taste for that unclean substance off your lip and tongue. I'll tell you, after preaching the sermon, I preached it, I actually have faith to say it like this. As I curse the taste for that stuff off your lip and tongue, everybody that's bound by an unclean substance, in the name of Jesus Christ, as I minister to her, it loses its hold on you right now. If you want to leave your cigarettes up on the altar, feel free. But God's going to deliver it. It is delivering everybody right now. So that altar should look like somebody robbed a liquor store in about 3 minutes. In Jesus' name. So number one. Number two, any damage that was done to your body, and I'll say any damage done on the inside of your body from your former life, the Lord restores everything in Jesus' name. In fact, I'll tell you, in the fullness of time, if you wish to marry and have children, you'll be able to without any complication in Jesus' name, because God's not only rescuing you right now, God's restoring everything that was damaged. Amen. Close both eyes. Thank you for it. Instead of clapping, just lift your hands and tell the Lord thank you in your seat. Oh, you woke up now. Hallelujah. Come here, my friend. The anointing's all over you. I'm not going to assault anybody, I promise you. I came to North Carolina to bless people. Lift both hands. Unless I find out you work for the Newark mayor's office, then I might have to keep the fruit of the Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, fresh oil from heaven. I want to tell you, the Lord's going to begin to supernaturally open doors for you to teach the word of God and minister to people. And it'll be so powerful that your reputation will spread. And everything you've wanted the Lord to use you in this second phase of your life, you're going to get it all. Put one hand on your heart, one hand on your belly. Lord, with a body that's not fit. Come here, my friend. This lady, too, with a nice blue jacket. Just meet me right over there. Yeah. Jesus is going to touch you. So even if you don't like me, just receive it from him. Go ahead and lift both hands. Put one hand on your belly. Lord regulates your blood sugar right now, your pancreas. Pancreas will work exactly like it was created to work. No shutdown of organs, no kidney problems. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know what your pastor does the rest of the time I'm not here, but this is the easiest flow of the Holy Ghost of any church I've ever preached in on a Sunday morning. Sunday morning in America is usually like a graveyard. You basically have to get the service over with to have revival at night. So you people are great. I don't know if it's the mustard and vinegar-based barbecue or what it is, but it's working. Let me pray for this guy in the nice striped shirt and the cross. You look like you could pick me up and throw me in a tight spiral through the sheetrock. Just meet me right there. In Jesus' name. Put one hand on your heart, one hand on your belly. In Jesus' name. Just put one hand on your belly and lift the other one up to the Lord. I'll tell you what the Lord says. As you've fully given your life to me a little while back, probably the best I could tell you is like this. For me, it was very easy to serve the Lord because I had a mother and father that were Holy Ghost-filled people. But the enemy set things up for you to go to hell, and it was like a couple years ago, you just kind of like pulled out of it and said, I'm not going to live like that anymore. And the Lord honors you today, and the Lord restores your body today. So lift that other hand to the Lord. Obviously, I would never attack somebody that's as built as you. It would be a mistake. Lord touches you right now. Kidneys, pancreas, liver, in Jesus' mighty name, gives you a strong body to serve the Lord all the days of your life. Then here's a bonus. Let me see that hand. Receive a fresh anointing. Nobody will ever pull you backwards. You'll pull other people forwards.
Thank you, Lord.
The battle over your life is over as of today. Anybody from your past that would try to cause you problems, they'll just go missing. In Jesus' mighty name. Love you. And I'm proud of you. Where are you guys from? Ooh, French Africa. Très bien. Say it again. Oh, the English part. You Cameron too? Well, come with me. Any nation that produced Samueletto is okay with me. God bless you guys. Here, come right up front so you all three can fit. You know, we love you. I haven't been to Cameroon yet, just Congo. Lift both hands. Father, thank you for French Africa. And I'll use these three as a point of contact that you would touch them and then all the unrest in that nation right now. Visit that land. Open doors, gainful employment, in Jesus' name. There it is. Love you. There's not a big Cameroonian community around here, is there? Or is there? Some? Oh, you're visiting. Love you. If you know anybody else from Cameroon, tell them they have a friend here this week and bring them. We love French Africa. God bless you. Give my three friends a hand clap as they go back to their seat. Stand on your feet, everybody. As you stand on your feet, lift both hands to the Lord. I just see the Lord touching so many people. As I was calling people out one by one, it's like it was just jumping everywhere. I'm probably going to have to pray with my eyes closed or I'm going to end up pulling people out. This lady in the red. You can just stay right there. Put both hands on. No, put one hand on your belly and one hand on your heart. Close both eyes. And it's like the Lord will just give you a shock to your organs. There it is. I guess I'm doing it right now. You can actually see the healthy color coming back into your face. Praise God. Praise the Lord. It's going to be a great week. I know I already prayed for you. But this lady in the black, I'm telling you, the hand of God's on you so strong. One time I had something like that happen, and then so I wasn't going to pray for him a second time, and I felt the Lord speak to me. You know, I'm not a communist. People can have more than one. God will actually keep coming back and getting the same person. God's attracted to faith. I know I already prayed for your body, but I'll tell you another thing. It's like a flow of money is going to come from heaven. where the devil will never be able to manipulate you financially to do things that you don't want to do to get money. Amen. You'll have plenty of money. The Lord's going to bless you. Blessing of the Lord makes a man rich. That's in the Bible. I'm glad I got to meet you. I'm not saying this to be nice. Again, I'm from up north. If I'd have flown all the way down here just to minister to you, the Lord literally saved your life today. And it's going to go, not just saved, it's going to go in the up direction now. So I'll just say congratulations. How come you guys were like staring me down in the beginning? Because of the blue suit and red tie, looked like a politician, made you angry. It was the only thing I had clean. So I'm sorry. Keep one hand on your belly, put the other one where your heart and lungs are. Close both eyes. And you believed in healing before I got here. So have what you believe. One thing that kind of needs corrected in people's faith is the Bible teaches that everybody has to die. That's a fact. But you don't have to die sick. That's not in the Bible. Bible says, as your days are, so shall your strength be. So the reason it's important is you have to, what you believe is what you become. So in your spirit, if you think life is you being strong and then after you hit 50 and AARP starts magically showing up in the mail, your body just has permission to kind of give out, that's not scriptural. Was Abraham weak when he was old? No. He was unusually strong. And the Bible tells you in Romans 4, his body was strong and empowered by faith. Not by ensure and Activia pudding. By faith.
You'll be old and strong. In Jesus' name. Now, I didn't even see your earrings. I put the brace for your ears. You take your earrings out real quick? Yeah, I'm not going to steal them.
And if you want to sing something.
Deafness and hardness of hearing, in Christ's name, come out, out, open, 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 here, for the glory of God. There.
Hallelujah.
And actually, there it is.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Actually, feel that the hearing muscle is connected to the heart, and as God strengthens your heart, your blood flow gets strong, the hearing comes back right now. Open!
Thanks, Lord.
Come here.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Lift both hands to the Lord. God will bless you so much between now and Christmas that even people that you're friends with that don't serve the Lord and don't believe in this stuff, they're going to have to re-examine what they believe when they see how quickly things are accelerating for you. Going to go quick. You don't hear me telling everybody that. So it's not like I have cards with things I say to people. Lift your hands up even higher. Close both eyes. Receive the anointing. There it is. Because I know in my spirit, it's like, Lord, I'm doing everything your word tells me to do. And it's like actually the same or a little less than when I wasn't really serving you. So now whatever's causing the delay goes right now. Filled. There it is. And be delivered in Jesus' name. That tormenting spirit, go. You're free. In Jesus' mighty name. Clap your hands one more time unto the Lord. Come on, give Jesus a big, big hand clap. Hallelujah. I just decided I'm going to do what they do in Africa and America. I'm not going to have American church services. American church services don't work. They're boring and they don't have any power. Need to have Book of Acts church. They told me in Full Gospel Bible College, you can't just put up a stage in America and preach and expect people to listen. Yes, I can. God anointed the preaching of the gospel from now for all time. And you watch what it does. If it can work in New Jersey, it can work doubly in North Carolina.
Can you say amen? Amen. Can you say a better amen? Amen? The reign of terror of the devil over your life ends right at exactly 12 o'clock. Be free. Be free. Be healed. Be blessed. Through your shoulders, discs in your back, jawbone, whatever's attacked the structure of your body.
Even if it came in an accident or one.
Go! It's gone. It's gone. Goodbye, Mr. Devil. Nobody like you. Goodbye.
Hallelujah.
Praise God!
Your hands right there. You don't even have to come out.
Filled. There it is.
More.
More.
Both hands where your heart and lungs are. Your heart's actually too damaged to be healed, so the Lord gives you a brand new heart underneath both hands right now. Close both eyes. The Lord touch you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Glad I got to meet you. I like you. Lift your hands right there. Close them both back. That's it.
This last phase of your life is going to be filled with the blessing of God. Enjoy. You're not going to be lonely. You're not going to sit somewhere by yourself. The Lord's going to be a blessing to you in every area of life. New friends, plenty of money. In Jesus' name. I told you I was going to leave you alone, but I'm actually going to come around. One more thing. You can't be on oxygen in North Carolina. One deer hunter stray bullet, you'll blow up two city blocks. This lady in the blue with the flowers, power of God jumped from her to you. Sorry for running the service past noon, but it's you people's fault. You received too well. Lift both hands. There it is. What you've made happen for others, God now makes happen for you. You've given out, and now a harvest of God's power comes back. Fill!
Jesus' mighty name. Praise God. Praise God. Great couple. You're anointed. Come on up. I like you. Come on. Lift both hands. Close both eyes. To bed. Enjoy life. Thank God you can stay alive a long time by the blessing of God.